chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. Chapelboro.com, more of what you live here for. Now News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Side Dish, hosted by Deborah Miller. Tune in for 30 minutes of tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is locally produced by News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now let's get to the tasty talk with Deborah Miller.
Welcome to another edition of Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and my special guest around the table with me today is Rachel O'Ring, and this should be a really interesting show because, Rachel, you are a self-proclaimed picky eater, and I don't run into many of those, so always?
It's a funny thing being in the food industry like I have and loving to eat and loving to go to restaurants, but having this kind of side thing that, I am a picky eater. It's ever since I can remember, I've been pretty picky. And it's funny because some things kind of go in and out throughout my life. There are things that I used to eat when I was little that I won't eat now because I had a bad experience with it or because I just kind of realized one day, like, hey, I'm grown up. I don't have to eat this if I don't want to. And there are some things that I wouldn't touch when I was a kid that I love now, like avocado and mushrooms. So it is weird how my tastes have changed to accept more things and also that, I hate things also. So.
Well, Rachel was discovered out in the office at right here at WCHL, and she has been sales and marketing coordinator for a good little while, and will be moving on in a couple of weeks. And by the time this airs, but you don't have to miss her because you have a blog, your Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. I don't want to lose our conversation about the picky eater, because I want to get back to when that first started. But tell us about the blog.
Well, the blog I started, it's been in quite a few different iterations over the years. But I started it because I read when I was in college, I read this book, The Man Who Ate Everything by Jeffrey Steingarten.
Yes.
And the first chapter, he details how he got the job as the food critic at Vogue, and he felt that he wasn't able to fulfill the responsibilities of that position until he got rid of everything that he hated to eat. And I was really, really inspired by him kind of listing what he didn't like and, going down the list and trying to overcome each thing by creating different experiences for himself. So after I read that, I was like, I think I should do this because I've always wanted to be a food writer and that kind of thing. And so I started the blog, and it's kind of morphed into the original purpose of it was for me to kind of do the same thing and to document this. But it's kind of morphed into just like my humor writing that's food themed and just kind of, things that I like, things that I don't like. And, I really like what it's kind of morphed into because I can talk about, I'm not limited to talking about picky eating, but it's kind of, it's.
Well, it's funny.
I mean,
my funniest question would be, how does a picky eater decide to be a food writer?
Well, it's really weird and kind of ironic, I guess. My father was a chef. My mom was always a really good cook. I've always loved to cook. I grew up around, a really rich culinary household. And, I think some of my pickiness was fostered by the fact that my mom only cooked things that she knew that we would like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really saw myself as a picky eater because I always loved everything she ate. My brother was the picky eater because he wouldn't eat anything. And then I got out in the world and, started going to restaurants and ordering things and realizing that.
Well, so I got really tickled in. Look, this is also an idea for a book, and I guess that's where the blog kind of gets you jump started on that. But I really laugh jiggly things with Jell-O and I guess all that. Is it mostly about the texture for you or is it the flavor?
Well, for me, a lot of things that I don't like are because of texture. I've always had a really sensitive gag reflex, hence the title of the blog, Gagging Towards Bethlehem.
Yes. So, with apologies to Miss Didion, right?
Thank you. I always thought more people would get that. And my uncle emailed me one day and he's like, "What, you don't like Israeli food? What's this title about?" And I was like, "It's never mind."
Well, I have to confess, I had to think about it, and then there was, I was like, "That reminds me of something. What does that remind me of?" And then it was like, "Oh."
Exactly. So some people will come up to me and be like, "That's really funny," and I'm like, "See, you know."
Yeah, smart people. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, I'm very highbrow in my food writing, as I'm sure you've noticed. No, but texture for me is a really big deal, and swallowing is, you know, the problem for me is, like, if I get something in my mouth that I don't like the texture of, it's like my throat closes
up.
And it's kind of a terrifying feeling. And it just happens. And the thing is it happens. Sometimes it'll happen for no reason. Like eggs, you know, I used to love eggs. I used to eat eggs. And it's like one time I had a fried egg and the texture just didn't sit well with me. And ever since then, like, I can't eat eggs.
Any kind of eggs.
Fried eggs, anything with, like, you know, the congealed white, like a poached egg.
Deviled eggs you can eat?
No, hard-boiled eggs, just congealed. Scrambled eggs I love. I will eat a scrambled egg, but that's about it.
I can't believe I'm sitting in the room with somebody who doesn't, has never had a tomato sandwich with mayonnaise on white bread or a deviled egg. Yikes.
I know.
I was going to ask about that's that almost is. So you wouldn't do well in one of those blind taste tests where they blindfold you and make
you
taste
Lord,
stuff.
No. I'd probably have a panic attack because I didn't know what they were going to put in my mouth.
Well, so ordering in restaurants must be a challenge.
It is. It depends. It's funny because, so this is, it's really weird because I'm really adventurous with things that I've never had before. But if it's something that I know I don't like, I am incredibly stubborn. So, for example, I went to Cafe Atlantico in Washington, D.C., and it was during restaurant week, and I ate wheat locoche because I'd never had it before. And I was like, this sounds cool. But I do a lot of the, like, no, this or that or this or that. And waiters hate me. I know they do.
Well, we're about to have to go to break. Before we go, give us the blog address.
Okay. Well, it is gaggingtowardsbethlehem.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at @gaggingtowards.
And you're on Facebook.
I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/gaggingtowardsbethlehem.
Well, it's really funny. On the blog, you can see other past accomplishments, which we'll talk about when we come back. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360. Don't go away.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Chapelboro.com, more of what you live here for.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller here with my guest today, Rachel O'Ring. And we right before we went to break, we were talking about you had eaten, been venturous in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
So go ahead.
So I ordered this dish, which I'm sure my mother would have died if she had known that I was going to order this. It was wheat locoche, which is corn fungus that is a delicacy in Mexico and South America. And it was roasted in a giant portobello mushroom with roasted beets. And which I think is my mother's nightmare. And I ate it. I had never had beets before.
And
I loved it. It was great.
Interesting, because that's a strange texture.
It was, but it was cooked so well, and it was in, you know, with a mushroom, and it was so good. And it's interesting how the pickiness kind of manifests itself. Like I was saying, you know, I had never had beets. I love beets now. I love them so much because I'd never had them before. And I tried them kind of at their best. And I had a good experience with them. And
yeah.
So that kind of helps bolster my, you know, thought that I can get over this stuff if I just kind of change my associations with different foods, because I had a great experience and now I'm like, hey, I'll eat corn fungus, whatever.
Yeah. I think everybody has things that they don't particularly like. I mean, uh-huh. I'm not crazy about the texture. Now I can't even remember what it is. I never eat them. It's in Chinese food. And I sort of have to pick through and pull it out. And there's
the water chestnuts?
Yeah, water chestnuts.
Oh, I hate
them. I don't know what it is. It's an unreasonable thing. And I don't like cilantro. I cannot stand cilantro. But everybody knows that. We talk about that all the time on the show.
Really? You don't like cilantro?
No, it tastes bad to me.
That's funny. Have you read that story in the New York Times about
Yes.
And it's really, it makes me wonder if, I'm sure there are other foods that are like that where some people just... It's a chemical reaction that they just can't stand.
It is. And I pride myself on the fact that Julia Child did not like cilantro either. So there.
Sure.
And that sort of leads us into super tasters.
Uh-huh.
I was, before talking with you, I was listening to you as a guest on State of the Things on NPR, a show you did last year with the... which the head of the Duke Center for Eating Disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about food neophobia.
Exactly. Nancy Zucker. She was so informative. And it was really interesting talking about, the super taster phenomenon and that kind of thing. And
well, so explain what that is for all of those people who don't know.
Well, basically what they say is that different people have different densities, I guess, of taste buds on their tongues. And most normal people have, a certain density of taste buds on their tongues. And so they have normal tasters, and then they have super tasters who have a denser cluster of taste buds per, square inch or centimeter or whatever.
It's like pixels.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a higher resolution of taste.
Yeah.
So I'm at 800 dpi, where I guess normal people would be 300 dpi.
Interesting.
And then they have non-tasters who have a lower resolution, as it were. And, they say it's not like non-tasters can't taste anything.
That's probably people who smoke.
Yeah, exactly. But, for super tasters, things are, and it's not necessarily better. I wouldn't say that I like being a super taster, because for me, lots of things are a lot more bitter for me than I think for most people. I can't drink coffee. I can't even eat coffee flavored ice cream. Coffee is totally out for me. If it has a tiny bit of coffee in it.
You can tell.
I can tell. I can taste it, and it tastes very bitter.
What about smell?
Smell, I'm definitely, smell is a big part for me. And if something smells bad or something smells off, again, I get that automatic shutdown in my throat. And, so for me, I have a lot of problems because certain flavors kind of are more pronounced, and just it automatically just turns everything off. Bitterness is much more pronounced, and sweetness. I'm not a sweet person because a lot of things taste overly sweet to me. And when I make desserts, it's not that they're bad. They just tend to be, if I make whipped cream,
mm-hmm.
I don't make it as sweet as other people do. Because for me, it's already sweet. And
well, so that back to restaurants with mm-hmm. your friends, do you just annoy them or they laugh? You're probably very entertaining with them.
Well, I try. I just tell jokes and then they don't even notice that it took me 10 minutes to order. But a lot of them laugh at me. A lot of them know kind of what my deal is. So it's just something that they kind of laugh off. And
do you get invited to dinner at people's houses very often? Or do they say, bring your own? own entree?
No. Well, you know, most of my friends, I'm 24, so most of my friends are in kind of transition. So luckily, I don't get invited to a lot of like dinner parties. But I can't say most of the things I get invited to are like potlucks and stuff. So I just kind of
so you can
bring
take
my,
your own thing.
Because I like a potluck. I can bring my own thing.
And well, you've been doing this for a little while, and in looking at your blog, there's some impressive. You've got a nice, impressive history, and in fact, you haven't even put your Bon Appetit stuff up on your blog yet, which you should do tonight.
I will.
But you have written for Bon Appetit, and who else were some of the other major publications?
Well, I wrote for Eat Me Daily before it died its second sad death. And through that, I got a lot of opportunities. I loved writing for Eat Me Daily because it was very snarky. It was exactly the kind of food writing I do, and they always try to present kind of an interesting angle to things. And through that, I got asked to write freelance for Bon Appetit, and all the stuff that I've done so far has been on their website. But it's really cool. I really love writing for Bon Appetit. They kind of get me, and they know like what my writing style is like. I've also written stories for The Independent and for The Daily Tar Heel. And so, I've done a little bit of food writing. So,
well, y'all should go and check that out. There's a couple of, one of the ones I liked was Where to Find Food West of Franklin Street, and I got a big kick out of that. And there's one about umami and MSG that's cute too.
That was fun to do, but hard to do.
I bet it was.
Putting that accent on my tongue was the worst idea I've ever had.
And the flora and the fauna. That was cute. Well, we're gonna have to go to another break. I'm talking with Rachel O'Ring, and we are talking about her blog, which is Gagging Toward Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. And so don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Chapelboro.com, more of what you live here for.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller. I'm here today with Rachel O'Ring, and we are talking about her being a picky eater and her blog, which is Gagging Towards Bethlehem and .com.
Yes.
GaggingTowardsBethlehem.com.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Yes.
Go check that out, because she's challenging herself to overcome some of her the foods that she doesn't like. I'm going to be really interested when you get to that jiggly things.
Who knows how that's going to end up?
Well, I'm hoping that you will let me know when you've that she'll come back and we can talk about this and give updates on where you are with the project. And
I would love to.
I think that would be really fun.
That would be fantastic. I would love to come back.
Well, so one of the things that I've always enjoyed, and it seems to me that I get a lot of feedback when we do this, is our quick fire questions.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see how you do with these.
I can't wait. This sounds great.
Duke's or Hellman's?
Hellman's.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Oh, yeah. Hamburger or cheeseburger?
Cheeseburger.
Oh, yes.
I love cheese. I love some American cheese on top of my burger.
Me too. Oh. I buy American cheese and I don't even hide it anymore.
I know.
It's perfect for an omelet.
It's so good. It's perfect. It doesn't get greasy.
I know.
Exactly.
Ketchup or mustard?
Mustard.
Oh. Pizza topping?
Soppressata and artichoke hearts.
Artichoke hearts. Now, that's an interesting texture.
But that's if I'm feeling really fancy and making it myself. But cheese. I'm a cheese girl.
I know. Mm. I'm glad you like cheese.
I do.
Go-to comfort food?
Macaroni and cheese.
Oh, you know, that's a really good one.
I love it. Oh, no. Or a Philly cheesesteak. Cheese steak.
Yeah. That's cheese again.
I know.
Okay. Is Secret Indulgence cheese?
No. Secret Indulgence would probably be dried ramen noodles eaten straight out of the packet.
Oh, God. You even told that.
I know.
I can't believe you admitted that.
We've all done it, and it's delicious.
Oh, not me.
Oh, they're so good. Ooh. They're like cracker. I don't even, it's, I mean, it makes you, they like get all big in your stomach and you feel like an exploding bird, but that's so good.
That sounds like fun. Do you have a signature dish you cook?
Yes, pomodoro sauce.
Oh, do your friends love it?
Yeah.
Wait, pomodoro?
Yeah, just a simple, it's simple tomato sauce. So, basically what I do is I saute sliced garlic and red pepper flakes and tomatoes.
But if you don't like tomatoes.
Raw tomatoes. See, okay. I like cooked tomatoes. That's the thing is people are like, tomato. But let's be honest, a raw tomato is a completely different beast from a cooked tomato. And I'll eat like a San Marzano cooked tomato. That's what I make with my sauce. And it's just perfect.
Interesting. Do you have a favorite kitchen gadget?
Whisk.
Don't you love whisks?
They're so great.
What do we do?
For everything.
Favorite food movie?
Ooh, favorite food movie.
As a foodie, you need to have one.
I know. I'm trying to think. Oh, Lord. I'll just say Spanglish.
Well, I love that. And we're about to have to end the show. But, you know, that Spanglish sandwich, you were saying you thought it might be Miracle Whip. I think it's that Hellman's. Out west, it's called Best Foods. And I was sort of trying to blow that up and look at the jar. But I can't imagine Thomas Keller using Miracle Whip.
That would crush my soul if he was a Miracle Whip man. I know.
And you know what? I carry my own pepper grinder sometimes, so I get the salt box.
The salt.
Thank you. Will you come back?
Oh, I would love to.
This has been fun.
Can I come back every week?
Every
this is
week
awesome.
You can come back.
You're awesome.
Thank you, Rachel O'Ring. You've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
Thanks for listening to Side Dish. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Chapelboro.com, more of what you live here for.